Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Pastor.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Pastor.
I'm excited because mothers are awesome. Those that say Neka. Mother is supreme. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. This is your day. May it be a glorious day for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, praise team. You can relax. Today, being Mother's Day, I prayed
the Lord will lead me as to what to speak, and He did lay in my heart to speak on a topic.
And I believe you'll be excited, mothers, sweet mothers for that matter.
Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you, O God. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the one that have made this day possible. Lord, as you have laid my heart to share the word of life with my brethren, I pray, O Lord, that this word will profit them in the name of Jesus. I pray that you speak through me, O Lord, as a vessel unto honor. I will not speak my words, but your words and your counsel in the name of Jesus. Thank you, faithful God, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title I've given the word is The Purpose and Power of a Virtuous Woman. The Purpose and Power of a Virtuous Woman. Let us, for a text, read Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. It's important to read that. Proverbs 31. From verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planted a vineyard. Wonderful. This is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful picture of motherhood. She gathered her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candles go not out by night. She laid her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reached forth her hands to the needy. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow. For her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he seated among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. and she shall rejoice in time to come. Amen. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praised her. Many daughters have done virtuously, for thou excelled them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hand, and let her own words praise her in the gates. Amen. What a portrait of a woman. Let's also read Proverbs 20, verse 15. Same book of Proverbs, 20, verse 15. Verse 15 says, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the leaves of knowledge are a precious jewel. Proverbs 8, verse 11. Proverbs 8, verse 11 says, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. The purpose and power of a virtuous woman. Virtuous women have the purpose of raising up godly seed. That's one of the purposes why God raised them up. They are specially raised up to raise godly seed. God wants people to be raised up in his image and likeness. Praise the Lord. They teach and nurture children unto godliness. One of their purposes. God not just creates women who are virtuous, but they have purposes to fulfill. They teach and nurture their children unto godliness. They are spiritual pillars for their households. They exhibit a kind of love that is only comparable to that of Christ and his church. Can you imagine that? Women, mothers, godly mothers, virtuous mothers, they have unconditional love for their children. They bring honor and glory to their families and the house of God. That's what virtuous women created for. And they are crowns of their husbands. They are crowns to their husbands. Praise God. They are destiny helpers for their husband. Proverbs 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Can you imagine that? If you are an excellent wife today, if you are a virtuous woman, you are the crown of your husband. Praise the Lord. Yeah, sometimes women, in comparison to men, they say, look, we know you are the head, but we are the neck. You see, that is not scriptural. The neck is a manipulator. Turn the head this way. That bend your neck. Turn this way. That's a manipulator, and it's witchcraft, and it's not godly. So don't compare yourself to the neck. No. You have a noble role to play in your family. And God has made you the crown of your husband. So henceforth, regard yourself as the crown of your own husband. Can you imagine a king? A king without a crown, it doesn't happen. A king usually has a crown, and that brings dignity, glory, and honor to the king. And you bring dignity, glory, and honor to your husband. Amen. Are all women virtuous? Well, you will answer that before we round up. It appears not all women are virtuous, but they are all supposed to be virtuous. Praise God. The woman is also the glory of the man. First Corinthians 11, verse 7. For these reasons, virtuous women ought to be highly cherished and honored by their husbands. They are just so wonderful. They are precious gifts to us. Praise the Lord. So if you have a virtuous woman as your wife, you should continually praise God and thank Him, just like I have. Amen. Yes. They are the best gift God will ever give to us, apart from salvation. Besides salvation, the best gift God has given me is my wife. I don't know about your wife. Cherish her, honor her, and call her that due respect that she really deserves, and not the reverse. Where is some men? They are so bossy and autocratic, and they lord it over their wives, and they subdue them and reduce them to like slaves and maids of the home. It ought not to be so. And some go to the extreme of even abuse. God forbid that. That's not the portion of virtuous women. Never. Praise the Lord. They have compelling influence on children as they carry them in their wombs for complete 9 months. Think about that. Special relationship. Mothers indeed are supreme. Naked. Yes. Her attractiveness comes entirely from her character and not her physical beauty. As we examine this Proverbs 31, you see, not so much is mentioned about her looks, physical looks, but about her industry, about her wisdom, about the way she honors the husband and brings glory and honor to the family. That's all we can see. Not so much of the physical beauty. But you see, blessed are those who are virtuous. They are beautiful inside and outside as well. Amen. Women of virtue are women of moral excellence. And it includes the fact that they are industrious, they are prudent, they are wise, they are compassionate, they are kind, they have self-control, they are humble, have great foresight for the family. Virtuous women are not common. A virtuous woman who can find, for her pride is far above rubies. Not where they are scarce. But fortunately for me, my wife is a virtuous woman. Praise the Lord. There are many virtuous women in the Bible. It's not all women in the Bible that are virtuous. Certainly not. But there are so many of them. And we'll just talk about some of them. The mother of Moses, Jochebed, was an astounding mother. When there was a decree from Pharaoh that all the male children should be killed because they were jealous of the Israelites. They were jealous of the Israelites. These people, they are so resourceful. No matter how you punish them, they are grow all that, and they are very successful, very industrious. In fact, they are multiplying, and we are afraid that they may take over the whole land. That was the fear of Pharaoh and his people. So, we know what to do. They are men. They are male children. So he instructed the midwives. This is a decree from the king. And look, if you are helping in childbirth and you find that the baby is a male, kill that child. Jochebed heard this, meaning that this my handsome child will be killed. No. What she did, she hid that child. Hid that child so that they will not come and kill that child. So for several weeks and possibly months, she did that until eventually she was not able to hide anymore. Can you imagine wonders love. The king has made a decree, but the love of a mother for a son, like case of Jacob, is outstanding. Say, no, this my son will not die. No, no, no. And eventually, when she felt tired, when it was no longer possible for her to hide, say, I know what to do. I'm not going to give up easily on my child. And so, she went to Riverside and put the child in a basket with the hope that the child would float away to safety. And it happened that Pharaoh's daughter was there by the riverside one day and discovered this child in a basket. What happened? She beckoned on the sister, Miriam, who was always watching. They love this child. This child must not die. This child must not die. And suddenly, there was a call from Pharaoh's daughter that, look, I want to adopt this child. Please, can you find me somebody who can take care of this child for me? That was the sister, Miriam. Happily, yes. I know of a woman. Yes, very caring woman. And she went and fetched the mother. Praise the Lord. What a coincidence. That's destiny. Praise the Lord. Because God had a purpose for Moses. And Moses was not just going to die like that. That's how she was saved. No, Miriam called the mother, and the mother was paid to take care of the son, unknown to Pharaoh's daughter anyway. But you see, we also need to mention these two midwives, Puah and Shipra. They were the ones that resisted the king's evil decree that every male child should be killed. Then no, not under our watch. Can't do that. That's not good. That's not godly. They feared God. So these were two women again who feared God. And because of that, they risked their life, their profession, and said, no, we're not going to kill these children. When it was discovered that they were sparing the children, Pharaoh himself called them and said, what is it that is happening? A decree has gone forth and you are sparing these ones? Say, no. See, the Israelite women, they are not like the Egyptians. Before you know it, they are giving birth. They have been delivered of their children and others. So they just told some lie there. But you see, most importantly, they feared God. And that is why God rewarded these women. Amen. Not because they lied, but because they feared God. They had a greater picture in mind that these are the people of God. And because of the fear of God, they rather disobey the king's command and maybe possibly sacked or killed. Today in America and some other nations, there's a testing like that too, where your born children are being killed. So, if I were a mother, I would not agree for my son to be killed. Praise the Lord. But virtuous women will always preserve their children. They wouldn't want to kill. They wouldn't want to abort their children. Amen. Praise God. These two women, they feared God, Puah and Shipra. They feared God, and the Lord rewarded them by giving them families and preserving their posterity. In Exodus chapter 1, 20 to 21, see that. Other virtuous women in the Bible, to the Rahab. Rahab, they call her the harlot. But once upon a time, she was. But after she met God, she became somebody different. Praise the Lord. And that's the story every one of us have. Once upon a time, we were in darkness. In fact, we were darkness. But God saved us. So no matter what you did in the past, if God has saved you and delivered you and made you his own child, you have a new image and you should be proud of it. Praise the Lord. Mary, mother of Jesus, a virtuous woman, of course. She was a virgin, and nobody would expect a virgin to have a child. But somehow, Holy Ghost had intervened, and God wanted to bring forth his son by the power of the Holy Ghost, but through a woman. Through a woman, a virgin, that had known no man. Imagine this young lady, Mary. She was espoused to Joseph. He had not yet married. And now, Holy Ghost had revealed to her, and also to Joseph later. And she said, let the will of the Lord be done. May the name of the Lord be glorified. Praise the Lord. Amen. She was a virtuous woman because she kept herself. And because she kept herself, God found her worthy to be used to bring forth the birth of Jesus Christ. Virtuous mothers are central personalities in their homes and the entire family circle. They are great home builders. Proverbs 14 verse 1 says, a wise woman builded her home. But foolish women, what they do? They are foolish women. They pull down their houses. But those who are virtuous, those who are wise, they build their homes. Loving sisters, please build your homes and do not allow people to destroy your home for you. Build your homes and give honor to your wife. Give honor to your husband. Mutual respect. Give to one another. Because the home is a wonderful place. A man of God said that parents should make homes the happiest spot or happiest place to live in on earth. Outside is full of adversity. In the workplace, the community, wherever one may find oneself, you find that there's always hostility and opposition. But when you come to your home, there should be peace there. Absolute peace. That you can only liken that place to heaven. Amen. That is the ideal picture. If you are a godly woman, if you're a virtuous woman, that should be your goal. In the Bible, there is also mention of two women, a grandmother and a mother, who brought up a godly son, who became a pastor. The name of that pastor is Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Let's read it. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. These two women, they are to be honored and remembered for what they did. Raising up godly son who eventually became a pastor, Ephesus, and that's Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. That is Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. See, I recollect your grandmother Lois. She was a godly woman, and she brought you up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. Also remember your mother, Eunice, a God-fearing woman who also nurtured you. So I'm confident that you will succeed. Amen. You can see the influence of godly mothers, virtuous mothers. They affect their posterity, their generation to come. They give positive, they leave positive legacy for their children. This is the case of Lois and Eunice. Every virtuous woman does that. Amen. These women had genuine faith, sincere faith, and they passed down this legacy to their son Timothy. Genuine, not hypocritical faith. One thing is for women or mothers to teach their children, and that is their own lifestyle. You just give instruction to your children, and your life is different. There is a case of, I read this story of, I don't know whether it's really true, of a child who got confused one day after going to school. And the teacher taught them about Jesus, that Jesus is very kind. Jesus Christ's followers are also very kind. So it's very humble, and Jesus' followers are always very humble. And so, this child will say, is that so? My mother claims she's a Christian. My mother claims she's a Christian, but I don't see these virtues in her. She quarrels with my father, and she's a nanga. So I can't recollect. So she became confused. And so when she got home one day, she said, Mommy, are there two Jesuses? Do you have two Jesus? Because you tell me about one Jesus at home here that you follow. And then my teacher is telling me about another Jesus that is very kind and compassionate and caring and loving. The woman was surprised. She said, oh, this teacher, they are teaching my children heresy. Heresy. So in anger, she went to the school. What are you for teaching my child? Look at what my child is saying. He's confused. What are you telling my child? That there are two Jesus? Tell me what's happening. Eventually, they are the child. And she submitted and said, look, it is because the Jesus my mother is talking about appears to be different from the Jesus my teacher is talking about. The Jesus my teacher is talking about is very compassionate, humble, and kind, and loving. But my mother is not so. Then she became ashamed. She was ready to go and fight. But now she became ashamed, and she bowed her head and left in shame. That's a mother. She is not a virtuous lady. Certainly not. That's why you see the question is being answered now. Are all women virtuous? By the end, you will know whether all women are virtuous. But thanks be to God for those who are virtuous in our midst in Jesus' name. Now, virtuous women, they are the primary teachers. In fact, the first teachers that we ever, your children ever have. The first teachers, the first doctors, first nurses. Everything. Women are just awesome. They do so many things to take care of their children. And virtuous women, they don't leave the responsibility of child upbringing to just some of the school teachers or the teachers in the school. You see, at this time, you will leave the destiny of your children to the teachers in the school when they are teaching them heretical things, teaching them about, you know, different kind of things that are not palatable. You have to assume that responsibility of being the teacher in your home. I will tell you soon of a woman who is outstanding in church history and who can be likened to those in the Bible and possibly outshine some of them. Praise the Lord. Yes. Virtuous women teach their children, like the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Teach a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It's very, very important. What the Bible says there is true, very true. I experience it. My mother, blessed memory, taught me early not to go after smoking and drinking. Because I remember these vices of smoking, womanizing, drinking, they are all related. So while I was growing up, I was just maybe about 4 years, 5 years, my mother would tell me, as I go and play with fellow children, do not join them to smoke. Some of them, they don't have actual cigarettes, but they will roll pieces of paper, fold it, light it up, and begin to practice. My mother just told me that. She didn't give me too much reason, but she told me. And I kept it in my heart. And actually, when I would go and see my mates, they'll be smoking, they'll be rapping. Take John, no? Why? I'm not taking. I didn't tell them, my mother told me. But mother told me. That is why. Possibly I would have become a smoker, a drunkard, maybe get involved in substance abuse. But thanks be to God for my mother, who gave me that instruction, and I followed it all my life. For I led to many other vices, but because of a godly mother that I had, praise the Lord, she advised me in those. At first, she was not a Christian, but I thank God I led her to Christ later on in her life, before she passed on. Praise God. Virtuous women live out what they teach and believe. Not only just say it, but they live it out, they practice it. Children are sharp at identifying those who only teach and not show good examples. Is it true, mothers? Yes, children are very sharp at that. They are very observant, and they are learning fast, positive and negative. So give them positive things to seek after, to pursue. Don't see the Proverb 31 woman as a model. Caution. You say, from what we read just now, who can really be that? Who can really be that? She's an industrious woman, an investor, a real estate, manager, everything, so many things, import and export. She does all that. But you see, I can tell you, even in all that, my wife resembles that older woman perfectly. Amen. You too can become that older woman. Don't be afraid. Oh, can I do this? You don't have to copy that. But you can be a model woman, a virtuous woman, in your own right and your own home. Amen. By the fruit you shall know them. Virtuous women honor their husbands, not because they are perfect, but because they are honorable. Amen. Bible says you should honor them. Respect your husband. You should submit to your husband. Even if you are the one that earns more than your husband, bow down to her and respect him as such. Bow down to him. Accept his leadership. That's what God has ordained. And in marriage, there shouldn't be two pilots, two leaders, two drivers. No. One head, not two heads. Accept that position. And you find that your husband will also respect you. Amen. Even though there are exceptions of husbands who, despite how good their wives are, they still bully on them. That's not very common. We don't expect that among our sister's husband. Praise the Lord. Now I want to tell you about a virtuous woman in history who did something tangible and wonderful. And we also learn of her methods. Might help you. Who could this be? The mother of John and Charles Wesley. Praise the Lord. You know about John Wesley, the church age messenger to Church of Philadelphia. He was so astounding in his time that he became the church age messenger. He was astounding among all the men of God that God used. What led to that? Because of the foundation that the mother had laid for him and also the brother Charles. Both were very influential, during the time of the Great Awakening. In church history, there are about four periods of Great Awakening, spiritual awakening. And John and Charles, they were ministers and were part of the Great Awakening of their time. Susanna Wesley lived in the 18th century in England. She was married to a reverend gentleman, Samuel. And she was the 25th child of their parents. The last card. Talking about Susanna Wesley. She didn't have any inheritance from their mom, from their father. So she was somehow disadvantaged. Nevertheless, God used her wonderfully. You are going to see how God used her. She was the mother of John and Charles Wesley, whose ministries were part of the Great Awakening. Some of her sterling qualities are that, one, despite the condition, the harsh condition at that time, she had 19 children. And because of infant mortality at that time, they had so many children. Remember, herself, she was the 25th child of her own parents. But this is now her home. She had 19 children. A good number of them died in infancy because of sickness and diseases. Now, this woman was very outstanding because she instilled godly principles in the home. Her children, they were many, but we are going to see how she brought them up in fear and nurture of the Lord. One of the things she did, while the husband was away, the husband was a man of God, like I told you, but he didn't have so much time. He was like a itinerary minister, traveling from place to place, and leaving the home almost just for the wife to manage. With all that respect, with all those number of children. And they didn't have so much money. They were poor, relatively. So she had a lot of challenges. When the husband would be away and somebody else would be preaching, she found that, what this man was preaching, who is now standing in place of the husband preaching every Sunday, was not enough for the children. This cannot bring my children to spiritual maturity. What you hear on the pulpit every Sunday. You know what she did? On her own, she decided to gather her own children in the kitchen, in her home, and started to give them extra lectures, extra time, Bible studies. It's like preaching to them. It's like grooming them. And it became very successful because these children were receiving all this instruction every time, regularly like that. And later on, even the community members, they joined in that gathering to get the extra food, spiritual food, that Susanna had to give to the children. It was said that at a time that the group had grown to about 200. Can you imagine that? And John Wesley is known as the father of Methodism. But what about the woman? No mention is made about the woman, the virtuous woman that brought them up. She was actually the one that laid the foundation for Methodism. Why is it called Methodism? Methodist church, Methodism. That is, they had standard ways of behavior, standard ways of disciplining their children. And they had routine way of doing things so that they will not err against God. That is why they are called Methodists. The frequent absence of her husband to preach left the management of the household on her hands. Can you see? She's like that Proverbs 31st woman, because she was very industrious. If she relied on what the husband would bring, the house would not move. You know, children would not eat adequately, but she was very industrious. Through it all, she remained steadfast in teaching the word of God with a godly character. Besides, she made it a rule for herself to spend an hour a day with each of the children over the period of a week. Think about it. I would say that again for you, virtuous women, whoever you live. Besides, she made it a rule for herself to spend one hour a day with each child over the period of a week. So everybody had adequate attention from their mother, teaching them the way of God. Amen? She practiced daily devotions all her life. She never relinquished that. She wrote scriptural commentaries and meditation for her own use, her family. She wrote. What a wonderful mother, having 90 children, even though some of them died in childhood. She was a co-founder of Methodism and wrote 6,500 hymns, including Hark, the Angels Sing. That's one song they sing during Christmas time. Her sons won tens of thousands of souls to Christ as John and Charles Wesley. Because of the foundation she laid for them, she paid special attention to John in particular, who was almost lost in a fire disaster. Because apart from the poverty, apart from the hardship and challenges, they suffered fire disaster in their home twice their lifetime. During a marriage of about 44 years, their house gutted by fire. And in one of those incidents, John was scarcely saved from the fire. And that's why even John, in some biography, wrote of himself, say, I am a brand plucked out from the burning fire. Her family, in a marriage of 44 years, suffered illnesses, diseases, poverty, death of children, and twice fire destroyed their home. Can you see that the environment this woman was brought up was not palatable? But in spite of this hardship, she excelled among the women of her day. Praise the Lord. Through it all, Susanna accepted the will of God and placed her family in his hands. She was the primary source of her children's education. Think about what this woman did. She was a woman of immense legacy, largely through the dual virtues of organization and prayer. She was prayerful, and she had to organize the children too. Children were raised strictly and were taught to cry softly. That made me laugh. Children were raised strictly and were taught to cry softly. Wow. A child wants to cry, you don't let the child cry out loud. No. Even when you want to cry, cry gently. And some months ago, I came across a friend who is from Germany. He lived for close to about 13 years in Germany. He said, every Sunday, you know one funny thing that happens in Germany? Every Sunday, that the place, they will go around families, neighborhood, and all that. They dare not hear a child cry or talk loudly. Talk loudly. I said, why? He said, but that's the state law. That's their policy. I said, okay, what now happens if a child is crying, maybe yelling, and all that? He said, they come and give that child injection. Funny, and it reminded me also of Susanna. She taught her children, she didn't give them injection, taught them to cry softly. Cry gently and softly. Nobody should hear your voice, Pastor. Praise the Lord. The children were taught to eat whatever was put before them. Remember, they were poor, not very rich. Whatever I'm able to play before you, please, my children, eat. Discipline. They were taught to play, not to play noisily, not like crying too. They were punished physically, but if they confessed their faults, they could avoid the punishment. Think about that principle. A child has owned up, yes, I did this, mommy, I did this. And just because of that, I said, okay, I won't punish you because you have told the truth. You can emulate that. If you are not yet doing that, please do. And reward honesty even among your children. Now, it said that Susanna Wesley had 16 rules on parenthood. I'll just read some of them. They benefit you. Talking about virtuous women. Number one, say eating between meals was not allowed for several reasons. No money, poverty, and all that. So, after I've sustained giving you this, and then you are still talking of another meal in between, no. not for her children. Praise the Lord. As children, they were to be in bed by 8 p.m. Wonderful. In fact, rediscipline. Look, by 8 p.m., everybody should go to bed so that you wake up early and she will have time to also teach the children. Everything was planned out. We were required to take medicine without complaining. It's part of her own discipline for our children. No complaint. Just tell them. Required to be still during family worship. No noise making. You have to teach them. If you don't teach them, don't blame them. There's one professor I had in those days. He said, if you don't teach them, don't blame them. You have to first teach them, tell them what to do. If you don't do that, then don't blame anybody. If they do anything they like. So you give them instruction to follow. Give them nothing that they cry for, and only what they ask for, politely. Don't give them because they cry for it. Give them something because they cry for it. Oh, no, no, not Susanna. But because you ask for it, and politely too, that's why I will give you. That was her policy. I believe you can adopt some of these ones. Help you to bring up children, especially at a time such as this. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is first confessed and repented of. That's a godly principle. Never allow a sinful act to go unpunished. Don't sweep it under the carpet. That's a disciplinarian. Never punish a child twice for a single offense. Commend and reward good behavior. Any attempt to please, even if poorly performed, should be commended. Talking about the children. The children, they have to do something to please you. No matter how they did it, it wasn't satisfied. Still commend them. Reinforce positive virtues in them. Preserve property rights, even in smallest matters. Strictly observe all promises that you make to your children. Then as for the daughters, it requires that the daughters they can read well, read, study, to read and write before they go and work. Why? Because at that time, only males were educated. The ladies were just told to man the kitchen and to man the house, and that's all. They didn't encourage female education. That's the reason why. But she believed that these children should be trained as well. And she took that responsibility to train them, to teach them to read and to write before they wouldn't go out to work. Praise the Lord. So this woman, you can see, was so astounding in her time. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, you see that women of great virtue, they are to be honored and respected and cherished. They are never to be bullied. Any man who wants to show his ego and bully these virtuous women, oh, it were better they were not born. Because they are after God's own heart. They love God and they want to teach their children godly principles. And they also have the plan to bring, honor to their household and to their husband. Then a man out of ego, because he's more powerful, wants to punish these women unnecessarily. Never commendable. I'm never in support of woman abuse. Never, never wife abuse. To be teen, that's far fetched from Christians. But some Christians do that. It's carnality at its highest and should be repented of. Praise God. Dear fellow fathers, husbands, you can get the best side of your wife when you refuse to be authoritarian and domineering over her. Involve her in decision making. See her as a blessing that God has given you. God says it's not good that a man should be alone, so give you a helper. God did not do anything evil by giving you a helper. But not somebody should treat as a slave. Don't demean her. She's worthy of honor and praise. Amen. This talk should remind us of the special gifts our wives are, and the need to respect and cherish them rather than see them as burdens. They are the greatest blessing God has given us besides salvation. Women who feel they have not measured up enough should also ask God for more grace to become virtuous women. Say, oh, look here at these 10 qualities, both of Susanna and all those Bible characters. I don't measure up at all. Don't condemn yourself. Rather ask for help. If you ask God, he will help you. Amen? To all men and women who have fallen short of God's glory, please realize you need Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, it's not possible to imbibe these qualities in your children. It's not possible to leave these legacies we are talking about to your children. You first have to know God. First have to be reconciled to God. So whosoever has listened to me, not just in this audience, but even online. Please, if you have not known Jesus, ask Jesus to come into your heart, become your Lord and Savior. Amen. In all of this, the noble, virtuous women in the Bible who accomplished so much for God, including Susanna Wesley, how much more God will accomplish with you in these challenging times? Bible says that these times we are living in, they are dark times, they are perilous times, and gross darkness is covering the whole earth. But you see, light shines brightest when it is darkest. This is when you should show forth who you are. God has made you a special woman, a woman of virtue. It's time to distinguish yourself, and people will know that you're a child of God, and they will single you out and want to emulate you. Our children are in dead need of godly mothers who will leave not only the legacy of good education, but also the legacy of godly heritage, like Timothy's mother and the grandmother, and also like Susanna Wesley. If Susanna Wesley's children or child, John Wesley, is the father of Methodism, how much more herself, who taught them those principles? My prayer that may the Lord grant your heart desires in this regard in Jesus' name. Many Christian hosts need to be peaceful. They need home, and they need godly, virtuous mothers like Susanna and the rest, so that their family will experience the light of Christ. In Philippians 2, verse 15, we are told, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Amen. Please, mothers, single mothers, you are not left out. God bless you. Can only liken you to Susanna. Even though she was married for 44 years, the husband was not always there, always traveling on mission, and yet there was no money in the house. A lot of challenge, a lot of difficulties. Despite all that, Susanna distinguished herself. May the Lord give you grace to bring up your children in fear and nurture of the Lord in the name of Jesus. He knows what you are passing through, and will help you out in Jesus' name. Make your home a model home, where there is real peace, such that people can describe your home as a haven of rest, where you can come and be very happy and fulfilled in life. May Lord God bless you all, and all those who are listening to me, you have not known Jesus, please ask Jesus to come into your life. You first have to be a child of God before you can become a noble mother or a virtuous woman. May the Lord save and deliver as many as are lost, as many as are confused in their homes, and there is no peace in their home. I speak peace to your host in the name of Jesus. It is well with you. Happy Mother's Day.